talking about relationships and the building blocks to healthy relationships. And so I want to continue that this morning. Next week is Palm Sunday. And so we're going to kind of transition for a little bit. I have a message I want to do for Palm Sunday. And then, of course, the week after that, it's Easter. And so then we'll continue our series from there. So there we go. So I want to continue talking about this series this morning, and exactly what does a healthy relationship in my life look like? What are the keys to having healthy relationships in our life? And so we're going to move on to the third block today, but we talked about for a few weeks, the first and most important block is having a right relationship with God. And that's our foundational block, and we have to get that one right, because if we don't get that one right, then whatever else we build on top of that one's going to crumble. So we talked about things like relationship before rules. Otherwise, we enter into all kinds of things that aren't healthy for us. Our weakness for His strength, we are not strong, it is His strength in through us. We talked about faith and trust. And so we talked about a number of things, but that is the foundational block. And if you didn't hear all of them, the messages are recorded on our website, and you can go back and listen to some of them. But again, we've talked about when somebody asks Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? A good question, especially in that time of day, right? There was a lot of commands. There was a lot of rules and a lot of regulations. And so somebody came along and said, Jesus, out of all of those rules, out of all the commandments, out of all the right, what is the most important commandment? And Jesus said, very simply, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That is the first and greatest commandment. Hence why we talked about first your foundational block, loving God. Love the Lord your God. That is the foundational block to the Christian's life. And we have to get that right. Again, if we don't build that block right, then everything that we build on top of it's going to crumble. And then Jesus said, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so the second block we talked about is our neighbor, loving neighbor, having a right relationship with other people. All right? And we talked about the makeup of man, our spiritual needs, underground communication, having the Lord work from the inside out. We talked about a number of those things. And forgiveness was the last one that we talked about. And I think Wayne touched a little bit on that even when he came last week, which was really great. So the second block was having a right relationship with others, with our neighbor, and how do we go about doing that. And so today we're going to talk about the third block and having a right relationship with yourself. And this one quite often gets missed, actually, and it's talked about the least out of the three. And in the church day, we talk a lot about loving God, which is important, loving each other, right? Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. So you have to love me, whether you like it or not. Okay, Jameson? All right? So that's the new command, love one another. And so the third thing that we want to talk about is Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so what does that look like to love myself? As I've communicated to you guys before throughout this series, and I've touched a little bit on this third block in the introduction, but so many people that I meet with that I'm privileged and blessed to meet with in my office, there's so many that really don't like themselves. I just don't like me. I don't like me at all. In fact, I'm actually quite disgusted with me. I don't like me at all. And there's a number of reasons for that, right? And we're going to touch on a couple of those here today. But I even had people say, I can't stand myself. And I've asked the question before to you guys, like, because I've gotten to this point in my life. Have you ever wake up some days and you just get tired of yourself, right? And your worries and your problems and the things that you go over in your mind and your heart. And I've woken up and I'm just like, man, I'm tired of me. I'm just so tired of me. And I'm sure you've experienced this. People can come up and accuse you of all kinds of things, but my response to them is always, that's all you got? You should hear how I attack myself in my own mind. and that's all you have? I got so much more than that. Because many of us, we play through in our hearts and in our minds all of the disappointments we have in me, all of the things that we felt like we let God down on, or all the things that we felt we let each other down on, or how I've let myself down. And we struggle with that. The battle really is in the mind. And that's why the Bible talks about the mind a lot, right? Hold every thought captive to Christ. I will keep you in perfect peace. That's what we want. If your mind stays on me, because you trust me. And so we have to get definitions right. And so one of the definitions we want to get right is, how do I love myself? How do I love myself? How do I respect myself? How do I put up with myself? Because I know everything that I've done wrong. You know, I had this thought. You know, it's interesting. Do you know that God knows everything about you? Do you know that? Do you know that he wove your very life together? That before the creation of the world, you, Vanessa, were in his plan. Right? Before the creation of the world, he knew who he was going to make. And God knew everything about you. Everything. Thanks, Tristan. Right? He knew everything about you. He knows every hair on your head. And he chose you from the beginning of the world. And here's the amazing thing. That God knew everything you were going to do in your lifetime, from beginning to end, and everything in between at those two points, and he still chose you. Right? He knew what David was going to do, and yet he still called him a man after my own heart. Right? And I think what we struggle with is we think that God just looks at the sin, but not the sinner. Right? But we forget about Jesus and all of that. Right? Because when he looks at you, he sees what his son has done for you. Right? That's why Paul says again, we approach his throne with confidence. Not because of what we've done, but everything that Christ has done. Amen? So here's the thing. Why is it then? Why do I get tired of myself? Why is it that I get tired of me? How come I can't love myself and everything that comes along with me? Well, I know one thing is we play that game of comparison. Anybody here done that before? You compare yourself to other people? Yeah, right? That's a big problem today, and that's one thing that I run into a lot when I'm talking with people. Well, I wish I could just be more like this person, or wish I could be more like this person. I wish I could be more like them, right? And we compare a lot, but let me tell you, you can't really compare an apple to an orange, can you? Because they're two totally different things. Now, they're in the same fruit family, yes. But an apple is an apple and an orange is an orange. An apple, we get apple juice. An orange, we get orange juice. I can't make apple juice out of orange juice, can I? They're two totally different things. And as I've traveled around the world, one of the privileges, man, you meet all kinds. God is so creative in his variety. There is nobody in the world like you. There's nobody in the world like you. So you can't compare yourself to another person because there's nobody in the world like you. Amen? That's one of the privileges that God's taught me over my years of traveling. And I've gone to some pretty remote places. And there's nobody made like you. You have your own story, your own messages, your own things that have gone on in your life, how you've processed them, what became part of your belief system. There's nobody in the world like you. So you can't compare yourself to another, okay? We got that? You just can't. Can't compare an apple to another. They're two different things. Yes, we're all in the same human family, but we're all uniquely made, aren't we? We're going to talk about that at the end of April. Right? That we're all uniquely made. Right? Psalm 139. Right? And it's right there in that verse. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that full well. Each one of us is uniquely made. So that's one issue that people have, is comparing themselves to another. And I'm saying you can't. You can't compare yourself to another. We have problems. We have problems loving ourselves because of our past. And we judge even ourselves on our past, right? And we believe that God has judged me on that as well. And so that relays and spills over into so many different areas of our life if that's our belief system, right? So I remember, I think I told you guys the story before, but I was walking home. Actually, it was when I was pastoring here 17, 18 years ago. And our office used to be beside Hall's Foods over there. And it was a fall day, and it was a beautiful sunny day. And I was walking back from the office to our home in that duplex down over here beside the Lutheran church. And on my way, I was just passing the cop shop. And these words just came across my mind and my heart from the Lord. Chad, do you love me? And I said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. I love you very much. And you know that I love you. Yes, Lord, I know you do. You sent your one son to prove it. There's no greater event that ever happened to prove love for somebody. Do you have a higher standard than me? I said, no, Lord. Jesus was the standard, and nobody could live his life. Nobody could do what he did. That is the highest standard in earth, is your son. Nobody could do what he did. So you know I don't have a higher standard. You don't have a higher standard. I said, no, Jesus is. He said, but you know I love you. Yes, Lord, I know that. Well, if I love you, then why won't you love you if you don't have a higher standard than me? And I remember I just stopped dead. So these are the thoughts that are coming my way during my walk. And I stopped dead in my tracks, and I just got past the cop shop. And it just hit me, and I just stood there. And I had to ponder on that. You don't have a higher standard than me, and I love you, so why won't you love you? Because I love you. Amen? So if Jesus loves you, if God loves you, and you don't have a higher standard than Jesus, then why won't you love you? And so that's what I want to break down today. Why is it that we don't love? What's blocking us from loving ourselves? I want to break that down a little bit for us today. So we're going to talk about the three selves. That's the name of the message today, the three selves. And I'll try and get through everything today. But in talking with Christians in a variety of denominations that I've been blessed to talk with, in a variety of situations, in a variety of walks of life, I've noticed that many of us get confused when it comes to the topic of self-life, right? We read that word self quite often in Scripture. And so I want to break that down for us today, because the believer is told to crucify self, he's told to deny self, and he's also told to love self, right? All at the same time. How does that work? How does that happen? How can I deny, crucify self? How do I deny self? And how do I love myself all at the same time? How do we do that? It's a great question. And so remember, definitions are very important, because if I don't have the right definitions, then I won't understand the Christian life. Right? We need to have the proper definitions so I can fully understand the Christian life. And so when reading the Bible, you will actually see that it speaks of only one self, really, under the influence or control of three different things. And so I want to talk a little bit about that today. So we're going to start with self number one. And self number one is what the Bible refers to as the old man, the old nature, the old self, right? The old man, old nature, old self. And so let's remember that in Genesis, and I just want to flip to that quickly here, God said, let us make human beings, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So I want us to all remember, and I referred to this a long time ago in the introduction, but we are made in the image of God. Amen? Right? We all understand that? Yes? Amen. Yes. So we're all made in his image. So what we need is an exchange, because we're born into the Adam life, right? Because we're all connected to Adam. That's why it's important, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Right? You need to be born again. And of course, Nicodemus is thinking, how do I do that? My mother's an old woman. I don't understand. But Jesus was talking about a spiritual rebirth, right? You need to spiritually be born again. You need that rebirth. It's important to be exchanged. And so the source from what we work at is very important, because we either have Adam's old life, as the Bible refers to, the old man, the old nature, the old identity, or Christ's life. And we live out of his identity and out of our new nature, right? As it said in 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, since I'm now in Christ, I'm a new creation. The old is gone, right? The old has gone, and this one we'll get to, the new has come. Right? And so it's important to break this down, because we need to understand this. And the source by which we work from becomes very important. For example, let's say I have a hammer. I was going to bring one today, but I didn't want to scare you. Right? Let's say I have a hammer, and I could use that hammer in different ways, can't I? I can use that hammer to build an old widow a home, couldn't I? Right, I can use that hammer to build an old widow a home, or I could use that same hammer to kill her. Right? Right? It depends upon the source by which it's being used. Right? And so I want to talk about this, because in the old Adam life, right, working out of that life, that source, the things we do get distorted and they get miscued, and there's no victory in it. And so in Galatians 2:20, Paul says this. He said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In this life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What happens to something that is crucified? Yes, it's killed, right? It's killed. And Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. So isn't it important to break that down and understand that, right? Because there's some depth in that, in those words there. How can I have been crucified with Christ? How do I no longer live, and how does Christ now live his life in through me, right? And well, of course, he gets to it, and I live by faith now in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Self number one is the unbeliever, the non-Christian, whatever word, the one who does not believe in God, right? He's living out of the old man, the old nature. Now, we're all born to it, right? Remember, we went through that scripture before. Since sin entered the world, it's in Romans, through the one man, Adam, so sin came to all men, right? Right? So we're all born into this broken condition, aren't we? Right? Since sin entered the world through the one man, Adam, so sin came to all men. Right? So, oh, Tristan. Okay, so that's very important to understand, right? That we're born into that condition. And so, and if we live out of that condition, right, here's the problem. The problem is that I'm living hell on earth because I never experienced victory, because Adam's life was a very frustrating life, wasn't it? Right? He didn't experience victory. He experienced defeat at every corner that he turned to because he didn't have the right source. Right? We need the right source, don't we? And so this old man, this old nature, this old Adam life, right? You live in hell and you're going to hell because Christ is life. And without him, without life, you have no life, right? And so now you are under the control of what's called the flesh, okay? What the Bible refers to as the flesh. Tristan, I've never done this before with you yet, but if you can't keep your comments to yourself, I'll just ask you to leave, okay? Okay, so just quiet and listen. Hey, shh, shh, no, shh. Well, if you listen, then I'll maybe get to that.
Okay.
Okay? Or we can have a discussion afterwards. Okay? So self number one is under the control of the old nature, the old Adam life. And the command for it is to be crucified. So, for example, you have the God-given ability, let's say, to start a business. Okay? We're going to start a business. And you have the natural talent to do so. Right? You have a body. You have a mind. Right? You have emotions, you have a will to be able to choose to do, so you have all these talents and abilities and interests to build this business. But being under the control of the old nature, your talents and your abilities that were actually created to express God, instead reveal a condition that the Bible calls the flesh. Now, he can maybe end up opening a chain of XXX adults video stores. Because it's distorted through the old man, the old nature. He has distorted God's gift of unique self that he gave us. And he's used it for sin, for pleasure, and his own purposes. Okay? You with me? Okay? So now, here is the command for self number one. So we just read it in Galatians, right? I have been crucified with Christ. So, a death needs to occur, doesn't it? It must die. Not the actual unique self, right? But that old nature, that old Adam life. It must be crucified. It has to be killed. Hence why we need Jesus, right? Jesus was not God's plan B. Jesus was always God's plan A, right? I've heard people, well, if we could just get back to the garden. But no, that was never. Jesus wasn't. I refuse to think of Jesus as an afterthought. He was always the plan.
He was God's contingency plan.
Yeah. Thanks, Cindy. Okay, so self number one has to be crucified. This is very important for us to understand, okay? So it needs to be crucified. And it will always express this condition the Bible calls flesh. Now, the flesh is, according to the Bible, is when we're just working out of these two areas of our life. Okay, this is what's called flesh. Right? You have a body and you have a mind, which is your ability to think, your emotions, which is your ability to feel, and your will. Right? We have a will. We get to choose to do. And you have a body to be able to express those things and act on it, right? Without filtering through the Holy Spirit in your life, okay? When I don't work through the Holy Spirit in my life, I will express what is the Bible calls, Paul refers to as the flesh. Amen? You with me? Okay, so that's what the flesh is, right? You're working out of the power of your own resources that God has made you with, without filtering it through the Holy Spirit. That is what the condition of flesh is. Okay? So now remember, we're talking about, again, right, loving ourself. And it's very important because depending on how you define these three things here, right, you will not love yourself if you have the wrong definition to this. Okay? So that's self number one, right? It's living hell on earth and you're going to hell in eternity. According to the Bible, okay? Right? It's a frustrating life, right? And the command for this self, right, is to be crucified. It needs to be crucified. How is it crucified? By inviting Christ into my life, right? Inviting him in. He's saving me from that old nature, from my sin. Amen? Okay, let's move to self number two, okay? Now, this is the Christian or the carnal Christian, whichever word you want to use, and he's operating out of the flesh. He's working the Christian life. He's trying to do it still in the power of his own resources. He has not yet quite learned how to tap into Christ's life in him yet. Right? Now, he's going to heaven in eternity, but he's living in hell on earth every day. He's frustrated in his Christian life because he's still trying to do it on his own. Remember when Jesus said in John, apart from me, you can do nothing. But in Philippians, it says, in Christ I can do all things, right? And so he hasn't quite learned that yet, and he's still working the Christian life. He thinks all of his good works is what's going to gain him favor. And he's really frustrated. He's under the control of the baggage left in his mind from the death of the old man. Right? Now, let me explain that. My grandma, whom I love so dearly, she was a matriarch in our family. And she loved the Lord, and she taught me so much. And before she died, she was so organized. She organized all of her things. Right? She had them in bags, and she had everything organized before she passed away. And I remember going to a funeral, and she said to me, "When's it my turn, Chad?" Right? I've never had anybody say that to me at a funeral before. "Well, Graham, don't worry. It's coming." Right? "It's coming. Don't worry." She goes, "I've had all my bags. Everything's organized for years." And she did. She literally had everything in bag. Now, when my grandma died, did she take her baggage with her? No. It stayed, right? It stayed. And when you died to the old nature, the old Adam life, there's baggage that remained from the death of the old man. Where does it remain? Well, here, because I have memory, right? I remember, right? So we live under the influence and the control of that baggage, everything that I did, right? All the sin that so easily entangled me, right? And I'm still controlled by it because of the baggage file up here. I remember. It's the residue left over from the death of the old man, just like my grandma's baggage remained after she died. We have the same kind of baggage. This here is a frustrating life. It's the carnal Christian, or the Christian working out of the flesh. He's under the control still of the flesh. He's under the control of the unholy Trinity, right? We have the Holy Trinity and the unholy Trinity, sin, Satan, and the world, right? Sin, Satan, and the world, and he's under the control of those things. Now, he still has talent, and he has these abilities, and he's got these interests in his own life, right? But everything that he does ends in frustration too, because he's still expressing flesh. He's still under the control of the baggage file and the unholy Trinity. Now, this guy has something that he needs to do. And the command for him is found in Luke. Then Jesus, he said to them all, Jesus, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Now, Luke is the one who says daily. In Matthew and Mark, it just says, deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow me. But I like how Luke says it, right? It's a daily thing, isn't it? Right? It's a daily thing. Deny yourself, pick up your cross daily and follow me. Because there's so many things in this world that entice us, right? Sin that's all around us, right? These things that are drawing us in that are going to promise you life, which is what my nephew's struggling with. He's trying to get life out of drugs and alcohol. And so he keeps going back. As a dog returns to his vomit, so does a drunkard to another drink. In Proverbs, right? I'm still trying to get life out of a dead thing. Now, do you guys remember, maybe this is going to show my age a little bit, but do you guys remember the TV show Ripley's Believe It or Not? Do you guys remember that show? And I used to watch that show, and there was unbelievable things on there. Like you would like, is that true or not? And so there was this man, this old mountaineer guy. He lived up in the mountains in Colorado, and he had a coffin of his dead wife in there, and he got her stuffed. He got her, yeah, I know. He got her, what's the word, taxidermied? Yeah, he got her taxidermied. And I'm like, and so they'll always tell you whether it was true or false. You know, at the end of, and I was like, there's no way that's truth. Like, that one's false. But it was true. This guy had his wife because he didn't want to miss her. Right? So he get into the coffin. He got it specially made double every night. And he go in and sleep with his taxidermied wife. I know. And we think disgusting, right? Like that's gross, right? Right? But it's no different for us, for the Christian who's still carrying around that old Adam life with us, right? It's like we're getting in bed with it every night. We're dragging that old dead weight Adam life with us, that old nature, right? Every day, trying to get life out of something that's dead, right? It's dead. It will not bring you life. But that's why this Christian is more frustrated, because he's still trying to get life out of something that's dead. It's been crucified. It's been killed on the cross with Christ. And there's no life there. There's no life in that at all. The command for self, number two, is to deny self daily by the power and the work that Jesus accomplished on the cross. Amen? I'm going to say that again. The command for, if you're here, the command for you is to deny self daily by the power of the work of Jesus accomplished on the cross, once and for all eternity. It's denying or giving up what you feel is your own. I got power. I can do this, right? But you can't, because apart from him, you can do nothing. Amen? Okay, let me just quickly get to self number three. So we have communion to do. Self number three. This person is under the control and influence of Christ's life within him. Right? He's under the power and influence of Christ. He's the Christian living in the Spirit, or as Paul refers to, walking in the Spirit. Right? He's the Spirit-filled believer. This is the self to love. Right? Self number three. This is the self to love. Because that's truly who you are, right? Right? That is truly who you are. Christians get stuck here in this one. That's where we get stuck. And that's why we hate ourselves. Because we feel like we're a constant disappointment to the Lord, to myself, and to each other. That's why it was so important for me to bring this up today. And so I hope you can hear this, because it will change your life. Self number two is not you. Self number three is who you truly are, right? It's your automatic. Therefore, since I am now in Christ, I am what? A new creation. The old has died, it's gone, and the new has now come. See, there's so much more and a much more gospel that Christ has did that maybe some of us haven't come to understand yet. But when you live out of his life, abide in him, as John said. John's the only one who said abide. Abide in him and he in you, and you will bear much fruit in your life. But apart from him, you can do nothing. You can't do it here in self number two. You can't do it. You have no power because you're still working out of the power of your own resources. And you're a frustrated believer. Now this person, self number three, he enters into the fullness of his being. All his God-given talents and abilities, his intellect, his personality, his temperament, they all function as they should and produces a condition called walking in the Spirit. He's walking in the Spirit. Whatever he does, Christ does through him. Now, I think I've told you the story before. I was down in Mississippi, and I was at a conference, and I was much younger Christian back then. And I remember, I think it was in John chapter 6, and three times in that same chapter, Jesus said, "By myself, I can do nothing." And I couldn't believe it. I could not believe what I read. And I came into the room where my roommate was, and I said, "Have you ever read this before?" He said, "What?" I said, "Look, can I see your Bible?" And I flipped it. He did a different translation, and it said the same thing. Jesus, the man who did everything, said he did nothing. He only did what his Father did through him. By myself, I can do nothing. I only do what my Father does through me. Well, amen. Jesus, the man who did everything, says he did nothing. He only did what his Father did through him. Now, this person, self number three, whatever he does, Christ does through him. There's no distinction between spiritual work and secular work, for all that he does is spiritual and of Christ. It doesn't matter what type of task it is, menial or spiritual, right? He does it because he knows Christ's life is spirit, and that spirit is working through him. Amen? It just doesn't matter if I have to clean toilets or go and share with the nations about Jesus. Because it's just what God has to do, wants to do through him in that moment. Amen? That is the self to love. That is, you will love yourself if you believe that's who you are. Because that's who he says you are. But if you're living out of the other two, you will not love yourself, I promise you. You won't. And I've been there. Does that make sense, everyone? I pray that you'll ponder this week, because I run into this constantly as I meet with people. And Christians get mostly tripped up right here at self number two. They still have not learned what it means to abide in Christ, for Christ's life to live in through them, to walk in the Spirit, as Paul says. Right? That is where we want to. That is the self to love. Love your neighbor as yourself, because that is who you truly are. Now, if anybody wants to talk more on that this week, call me. Let's sit down. Let's have a tea. People are starting to know me for my tea conversations now. Right? Let's have a tea. I'll clean your cup after so Brian doesn't get after me. Okay? And let's talk more about this, because this is vitally, vitally, vitally important. Self number one is the unique self under the control of the old man, the Adam life or the old nature. Self number two is the unique self under the influence of the residue from the crucified old man. Self number three is the one that is under the control, created to function under the influence and control of the life of Christ within the believer. Amen. It's his life flowing through you. And that's who you truly are. Capiche? Okay. Now, we're going to move over to having communion today, as we do, as is our practice on the first Sunday of every month. And here's what I want us to think about as we're taking communion today. I want you to think about those three. I'm going to leave it up there. And I want you to think about those three things. And think about what Jesus did so that you can experience victory today. So that you can experience peace today. So you can have joy in this life today. Because it was more than just the forgiveness of sins. Now, that was important, and it needs to be talked about. But it was also to give you a new identity, a brand new nature. The old has gone and the new has come, so you can experience life. So his life can so powerfully work through you. As it says in the Bible, it is the power of the gospel unto salvation for those who believe. For those who believe it. And 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, he says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you.'" It wasn't for him, it was for you. "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." New covenant, right? In my blood. "Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of" who? "Of Jesus. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes." Amen. Would you just pray with me? Father God, thank you. Lord, I'm just reminded again, like we get victory today because of you. Without you, apart from you, Lord, we can't do anything. But in you, I really believe it, Lord, we can do all things. We have victory in this life. We have a hope that is certain. We have a peace that passes understanding. We have an inexpressible and glorious joy, all because of you. It centers around you. So, Lord, we will remember you today. We are remembering you today. We're proclaiming your death, that you died, you forgave our sins, and you rose again so we could have victory. So your Spirit, the Holy One, can come into us so we can experience all of this. So, Lord, we do remember. Thank you for your body that was broken. Thank you for your blood that was shed. That gives us life and hope and victory. We do not take that for granted, Lord. We don't. Help us not to get caught up in the things of this world, Lord. Our past, our messages, my thoughts that can so drag me away from you. Help us to center our lives on you. Abide in you. Walk in the Spirit. And we can do this because your body was broken and your blood was shed. We pray thanking you, Jesus. And all of God's children said, amen. When you're ready, please come on up. And